and welcome to the latest installment of March Mania, the month-long series in which myself, you let me tell you something, co-host Lorcan Mullen, and the primo to my Carlito,
Mr. Simon Cross,
discuss matches from the wide history of WrestleMania with a different guest each episode and different participants in each and every match. With this one, Simon, we were really running the risk with the number of people getting involved that they might really limit all the other matches that we could have covered in the other WrestleManias, but maybe that's not the case.
I think somehow we'll scrape for it. Somehow.
Can you tell us what event we're at, what the match is, and maybe give people a bit of a historical context for the events that are transpiring in front of us?
Okay, so the location is Houston, Texas at the Reliant Stadium. The event is WrestleMania 25. The match we'll be covering is the Divas Battle Royal to become the first ever Miss WrestleMania. And I can already see our guests laughing at me introducing this. Now, the date, April 5th, 2009. And let's go to the history books. So we have the same number one in the UK and the US at this time. And that is Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
Oh, wow.
Differs a little bit at the box office. So the UK, it's Monsters versus Aliens with Seth Rogen. And in the US, it's Fast and Furious 4. Fast and Furious? I'm sure that was the official title.
That's what I would have pitched it as. Just looking at the current events, Simon, as well, on this day, President Barack Obama announced his plans for worldwide nuclear disarmament. And it's all been good news ever since that day, hasn't it?
Everything's been fine forever.
Yeah. And to share all the good times and the happy joy of it all, we have a great guest on. He is a comedian, and he's a podcaster, and he's an Arsenal fan, and he is also one-fifth of Wrestle Club, the podcast. And it's the club I've most been annoyed I haven't been invited into since I was told I couldn't join the No Lorcans Club. Even though they let in Lorcan Glumplets. It is the one and only Danny Scott. Danny, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for such an out there choice of WrestleMania matches for us to discuss.
How you doing, lads? We well. Listen, when Barack Obama comes out and he does that, and I'm there at home listening to Poker Face, of course, it's WrestleMania 25. That's the best day of my life.
Booking your tickets to see Fast and Furious.
Of course, just after watching Monsters vs. Aliens. It was a great time to be alive, and I've lived to tell the tale, and I think I've chosen, debatably, the best match on the card. Definitely not because I weren't allowed to choose a certain other match because of certain other reasons. Definitely did not want to talk about Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. No. But Danny is stubborn, so I went to a different match on that card, and I've gone with, of course, the debut of Santina Marella.
I feel like the word spite are coming into the my head.
Listen, I'm happy to talk about this match.
The original pitch for this podcast was that we were going to try and do 40 Manias, 40 matches, and do like 40 days in a row. 40 guests and all that, and tried to do different wrestlers for that. After a while, after I tried to do the computational equations, I realized that was a fool's errand. So we're going to try and spread this over 4 years, maybe, and allow us to do other matches involving these people. But just to give people a bit of a context, Danny, you seem to be of a more sprightly vintage, at least to myself. I don't know if you're maybe close to Simon on the age range and the WrestleMania fandom.
Is that you calling me old there?
No, young.
Is that what you're... Young, you call me vintage.
Mate, of the vintage of the age.
Of the younger vintage. Like,
you know when they go, vintage Randy Orton? I thought you're going to be a vintage wrestling fan.
No, to give you an idea, Danny, my age corresponds with the WrestleManias. I'm not saying I'm proud of that fact, because I'm not proud of that fact anymore.
Oh. You do not. I saw your face and I would never say that.
Thank you very much. But not only does my age match the WrestleManias this year, my shirt size matches the WrestleMania Roman numerals as well.
Look at that. So that's not the first time you said that, is it? That is a prepped, that is a good joke, and I like it.
That is a double whammy of disappointment, but it gets a cheap laugh out of it. But yeah, Danny, can we get a context of how wrestling fandom came to you, and maybe also an idea of where WrestleMania 25 lies in that period of fandom? Was this something you saw contemporary at the time, or is it something you watched in hindsight?
I was very deep into wrestling at this point, WrestleMania 25. I'd say if you listen to the first episode of Wrestle Club, I got taken the piss out of a little bit, because my first memory of wrestling, like, I remember SmackDown with the big fist, Rey Mysterio and all that. That's when I really got into it, because I think watching, or I've always been into like performing arts and things like that anyway. And don't worry, wrestling fans, I'm not calling it that. I felt everyone's buttholes tense then.
This might be the one podcast where you are allowed to make that comparison.
It was one of them where I was watching and I was absolutely just taken away by just the show completely. And then I remember telling, I think it was my uncle or granddad at the time, and they went, yeah, this is wrestling. And I was like, oh, what? And then they show me all of these like old VHS tapes they had. They had like an Ultimate Warrior, like greatest in matches. They had a Goldberg, they had like videotape, they had a WCW. So then I started watching these old stuff and I was like, oh my, this is insane. So I think my first WrestleMania I remember being allowed to stay up and watch all of was WrestleMania 20. Yes, because obviously that was, I remember it was Kane versus Undertaker, mm-hmm. I do believe was on that. And my mum stayed up and watched a bit of it. And she said, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She said, what the fuck is this shit?
Now,
I went, don't know, but I love it. And so I got hooked. That was my first. And then every year since then, I was allowed to stay up and watch WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, because it was near my birthday. And then when Money in the Bank came around, I was allowed to stay up and watch that as well. And then other than that, it was just like Saturday mornings watching like the, it was on like Sky One or something like that. And I think I was just like watching all of them in the morning in my cereal, going like, you know, when they go to hit the chair shot and it like freeze.
Cut to the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how I sort of grew up watching it. And then WrestleMania 25, again, I think there was a few like matches on there. We got like the Money in the Bank and stuff. Like I was just very sort of infatuated by a lot of the wrestlers at that point. I just think it was a really good bill, to be honest.
Yeah, it's interesting as well that you say Rey Mysterio. It does seem like, for your sort of generation, like Rey Mysterio maybe means to you what like the Ultimate Warrior meant to me. Just like for that is because it was like this wild sort of superhero face paint and the colors and everything. With Mysterio, yeah. I think it was again the colors, but the mask and all that, and just the high flying and the sensations.
Well, just jumping out of the ring, wasn't it? It was just insane to watch as a kid. And then I remember I used to be I was so fascinated with every pay-per-view. I'm like, who's he going to dress up this time? Because he'd always go with like, different characters. He did like Flash. He's done Batman. I remember one another SummerSlam. Mum stayed up and watched with me. He did the Silver Surfer thing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't 100% sure on who the Silver Surfer was. I'm a bit of a nerd now. Like, I love all that. But like at the time, I wasn't quite on the Silver Surfer. I weren't sure. And he was all silver. And my mum went, so who's he meant to be then? You said he was going to dress up as a superhero. And I just went, he's the Silver Man. It's close.
Yeah.
I mean, technically correct. Which, of course, is the best kind.
He's a man of silver.
The Tin Man from Wizard of Oz.
But I was just thinking, if that was the first WrestleMania that you got to watch, WrestleMania 20, and that your mum saw the Kane Undertaker match, just to feed into the match we're going to talk about, if she'd have walked in on you during the evening gown tag team match between Tori Wilson and Sable against Stacy and Jackie, you might not have get to watch another wrestling match for your whole life.
Listen, she has walked in on some bra and panties matches, and I've had to go, Mum, this is wrestling. In a minute, The Rock's coming. I don't know why it's going on for this long. I don't know why that man keeps shouting puppies. I don't know what puppies means, Mum.
It's a performance art.
I'm watching it for the articles, Mum. I'm watching it for the articles. Yeah.
I didn't even notice. What? Are they not wearing any clothes? I'm so invested in the storyline.
Oh, Mum, look at that snap mare, though.
See the Irish whip? Woo! Woo!
But yeah, so this is such a great match, though, for us to talk about, because the way that we've booked the episodes, we've kind of got an unintentional trilogy within it, where we talked about the WrestleMania 14 match between Sable and Mark Merrow against Goldust and Luna. And my argument was that match's success, because it was a huge match. I don't know if you ever watched it or watched those old WrestleManias. But I feel like that match led to them reintroducing the women's title because they knew that they could put Sable in wrestling matches and it was just about acceptable. And it was a wrestling that I think Vince wanted to see. It was a presentation of women that I think Vince wanted to see that he'd never been able to get before. And like,
so for well,
age like milk.
On reflection.
The evidence was there.
I did choose this match before the allegations. I want to say this right now. I'm not going to be making light of any of that bollocks. Yeah. For you to say, I feel like it's something that Vince wanted. Like,
And the third chapter of this will be when we talk about the WrestleMania 35 main event, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and we'll hopefully be talking with your Wrestle Club co-host, well, the head of your table, Sakiza,
for that episode. Oh, I thought you were going to say Richard. Sorry, I know that's going to wind her up more than anyone else.
Does that technically make you Attack of the Clones, then? You're not the Phantom Menace.
Couldn't you have gone with Empire Strikes Back, Simon, if you were going to be?
No, I'm hammering home the generation gap.
Yeah, but I've seen all the Star Wars. This is an insult.
Nah, it's more getting to Lorcan through you, you see.
But Attack of the Clones is good, though.
It's clones, they attack.
Yes.
That is basically the premise of the whole film. The title is the film.
Five stars in Empire. And I went to an Empire podcast event recently. The guy who wrote that review, he said, 20 years that review's haunted me. Giving Attack of the Clones five stars. Yoda 4. We thought it was 5. But anyway, we're not going to bother putting this match on a star rating scale.
There's no point. 10 stars.
Yeah. Dave Meltzer hasn't even reached that level yet. But it's funny actually watching it. And also, I don't know if you bothered, because I always ask Simon in particular to try and watch the video packages before the match or whatever. With this one, the requirement is no to point. Enjoy a medley of hits from Kid Rock.
Yeah, and also, I noticed when you watch the match, in the middle of them explaining the match, they get interrupted anyway. Like, it's the most, I'll be honest, I did choose it because I thought it'd be funny.
It would be.
I stand by that. And I still think I love the fact that I've forced you guys to now have to research this.
I think,
I knew that was going to happen. I was a little bit hungover when I also said about this match. And I was like, yep, I kind of forgot about it. You messaged. I was like, Danny, you're an idiot. But what I will say is that when I rewatched it again, I very much now appreciate the women's revolution.
Yeah.
Like, bloody hell. Yeah. Like, that match is, it was juvenile, it's fun, like, it's stupid. It's, I think, throughout the whole match, I don't think they keep saying, like, who is this lady?
This ugly lady. He keeps saying ugly.
He does. You've got every time, like, does she need mouth to mouth? It's awful. It's like awful WWE, which, you know, we can't just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid, but now you look at like Rhea Ripley and everyone we got now, like, it is great to see. It is amazing to see how, like, the change that them women have done. So I will say that before I rip the shit out of this match.
That's why I said it fits in with the trilogy, because, like, we've got the birth of it, arguably, with Sable becoming a star. And you can argue that this is the nadir of it. And then the WrestleMania main event, that is arguably the peak, because there's never going to be another WrestleMania where there's only one main event, undisputedly, and it was undisputedly a women's match, and it was the biggest match of that card. They'd earned that spot. It wasn't just there for PR. It was there because they earned it. And boy, watching this, you realise what every woman had to do in order to get to that point. You know, they stood on the shoulders of giants to get there. Because one of the things, rewatching it, because I must confess, I haven't rewatched this in 15 years. I was barely watching it when it was on 15 years ago. But what I always remember was, as you say, like, them entering and them not being given individual entrances. They're just part of a Kid Rock medley.
Yeah. Kid Rock.
They are just nameless, literally nameless women coming out there. And
not even getting, like,
mentioned when they get thrown out.
No.
It's so tragic, isn't it?
But what I also remember is when the bell rang, I remember the ring looking a lot blonder in my memory. And I don't know if that's just saying something about me and what I was paying attention to back then.
What you're hyper-focused on.
Yeah, well, I was hyper-focused. In my memory, it was just like a giant ball of blonde hair that eventually got whittled down to human bodies that you could decipher between them. But there were more brunettes and redheads than I remember. Because I was going to do my Rick and Morty quote of, like, when Rick says, I want a stadium filled up with all of your redheads waiting for me to come gliding. So it was like these certain preferences, as we say, that Vince in particular had. But not just Vince, obviously Kevin Dunn and all the other people involved in the presentation. But yeah, what was so interesting about it was that this was at the time where, like, obviously now at this point, WrestleMania's, the way they were booked, it was like, we get everyone on the card now. For a while, like, that was how it started. And then in the middle, they sort of made them much more of an exclusive, like, the eight biggest matches they can book and just half the roster just don't get to go on it. Now, because, like, they have to fill, like, 6 hours a lot of the time, everyone gets a match, even if it's just in a battle royal. The Divas match, it was all, and this was when they were all called Divas, and at the time, everyone's going, you know, Diva's not like seen as a positive term, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Being called a diva in the 2000s was not a compliment.
No, look at this bunch of divas trying to make a living.
I don't think
to represent their gender. Yeah.
I don't think this was making an opera reference when he was saying it. No. You know, this wasn't the only one. It was very often, like, around this time, the big woman's match would, it might be like Trish Stratus or someone would get like a proper match, but if there was a single match or like a secondary match, it was always like whoever got the Playboy centerfold that time.
Yeah, or it was
whether
like
they were a wrestler
they only
or
really
not.
Were involved with like others, weren't they? So like you'd have like Edge and Lita, and there was never like, you know, they're starting. What this is why this match is so kind of fucked as well, is like if you look at the card, there isn't a Divas match on there, is there? I don't think this is the Divas, like the women's match.
This is the entirety
and
of it,
Santino Marella won it.
Yeah.
Like, and how much of a disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone was like, and this is normal.
But I was thinking as well, because even, like, the Women's Revolution, I guess, starts around when NXT was on, and that was Triple H and everyone's baby, and Vince had nothing really to do with it. Like, the real turning point for that was probably the Paige-Emma matches, and then that led to the Four Horsewomen. And
you got the whole AJ as well.
Yeah, bringing in Asuka and everyone. But on the main roster, it was still like, and they were trying with it with the Bellas, as you say, in AJ, but it was also like Divas, the reality show and everything like that. And they would be getting like 2 minutes or whatever, and then they get those 2 minutes cut very often. Like, was it a WrestleMania after this where they were supposed to have a tag match on WrestleMania and then they were told they were being bumped? It was like the Bellas against the Naomi and her partner, the Funkadactyls, was that it?
Yes, I remember, because I think Punk and Undertaker run long and ruin it for them.
Oh.
Or something like that. It's around that time, I'm sure.
That's weird of Punk.
Yeah, not really. Doesn't sound like him. Are you sure?
relatively sure. It's my memory of a scene of Total Divas.
Yeah, I don't remember him being pissed off about anything in particular.
Yeah.
Fighting Undertaker at WrestleMania. No, I think he was quite happy with where that was booked.
Yeah. So the journey they're on, and obviously we get the Women's Revolution, but even post that, they're still fighting it, because we were thinking like this one gets won by Santino.
Come on.
Gotta get that right. Because I was thinking when they did the first Women's Money in the Bank match, they still booked that, what's his name, Chinless Wonder.
James Ellsworth.
Yeah. Like, he's the one
which,
that wins
again,
it.
Like, we were past that. This match here with Santino was kind of like where we were. And I think, you know, we all thought we were part. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you get James fucking Ellsworth.
Yeah.
James Ellsworth, man.
So, yeah, it's a constant struggle. But I was also, the other thing I misremember was a lot of the women, around that time, it was around when they were, like, looking at bikini models, like the Diva Search and all that. Like, if you actually were a woman that liked wrestling, that was actually a negative against you. to want to be a wrestler.
I suppose, like, to be as bleak as it is, and this is the reality of it, I suppose. And it has come out now, you know what I mean? Like, the allegations are right there. The guy on the top, he had his preference.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? It was never Awesome Kong, was it? Like, no. That was not what he was into. No. And that's the saddest, like, and the most... you get that in a lot of different elements of performance too. Like, I mean, I'm bloody hell, there's three white guys talking about women's struggle. This is but you know what I mean? Like, I can have an opinion.
Yeah. But please listen to the Sakisa episode if you have to pick one.
Yeah. Don't take my word for it.
The women are coming, we promise.
If I may say something first, Sakisa.
I should have really told you I was going to do this. watching me get cancelled from Wrestle Club.
But when I was looking at the roster, the women that were actually in the match, to be fair, there were quite a lot of women in the there were more women in the match that I actually thought were able, despite the setbacks, were able to be good wrestlers. I always thought Nikki Bella is an under... like, she got a lot of hate that she didn't deserve. I always say, like, most forearms and punches that get thrown in wrestling now are not as good as the forearms that Nikki Bella used to throw.
They were lethal.
But yeah, you got Nikki Bella, you've got Gail Kim, Maryse, who also, like, fit their aesthetic, but she actually worked.
Maryse was peak Vince's aesthetic.
Yeah. But she was actually, and even when she wasn't wrestling, when she was like the Miz's partner, I would say, not even valet, because she just had the knack. She knew how to do it. I think that might have been Miz's best run in all of his runs that he's had, even down to them getting a match with John Cena at WrestleMania. But let's not get into that yet.
Oh, I don't know, because that contains one of my low-key favorite ever vignettes ever, is Miz and Maryse impersonating John Cena and Nikki Bella. That is cinema.
Well, that was when we realised how strange a man John Cena actually is. Real life. But yeah, Maryse...
Miz is one of the most underrated. I was always a massive, massive Miz fan. I had like the top said, like, "Hello, I'm awesome." I remember watching it like a live show in London once. Got taken out. It was one of the first ever live times I watched wrestling. And everyone... This is when he was champ. Everyone hated him. And there's just me with my top. And he generally pointed me out and was like, "This kid knows what's up." And I was like... and everyone booed me. And I was like...
You knew the way it was going. But yeah, just to add to it as well, Melina. I always thought Melina worked so hard. And she was always struggling against the... You know, they want to put her into a custard pie match or whatever it would be that she lost the title to. Jeez. But her gimmick with Eminem was a really great gimmick. You can tell they developed themselves and actually took and made it work. Michelle McCool, really hard worker. Mickey James.
Yeah, they did the whole breaking the title in half, her and Layla. So they did that whole, which was something that I haven't seen before. That was cool.
Yeah, Layla was in this match, but actually got eliminated before the match was announced. That was how little she was in.
Jesus Christ.
But you got,
oh,
I think...
Oh my God.
I think the most, not most underrated maybe, but maybe the most resilient and if anyone deserves their flowers for the Women's Revolution, then Mickie James, who does go to the Final Four. She and, is it Beth? No, who is Michelle McCool and her take that bump out their elimination? It's like, that is a bigger bump than you needed to give this match. You're giving this match more effort than it deserves.
They are both ladies that clearly take pride in their work.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get the most of their moment. And this is the whole thing. You list the participants.
Yep, I've still got to go
with... Natalia was in it as well, right?
Natalia, Molly Holly, Victoria, all these great workers and just, you know...
Gillian Hall.
Well, she was there too.
Yeah. She was there.
She was there.
It's just a big pot of what could have been now that we've lived in the post-revolution era in terms of the quality of matches we could have had on grand stages.
Well, it's what I said, I can't remember which one episode it was in the past I've said, but it's like there were 30, 40 years of Bianca Belairs out there that WWE never looked for. There were 30, 40 years worth of Sasha Banks's and Bayley's and all of these other women out there, women athletes of great abilities that just weren't even given the chance to show. There were ones that made it work within the system, like your Victorias and Melinas and Mickey James's, but still they were handicapped by, you've just got to come out and act like you enjoy Kid Rock. That's the main thing you've got to do.
Yep.
That's your biggest job here.
Don't worry, because... because SummerSlam's coming around and you'll be doing some mud wrestling kin thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah, it's actually crazy the amount of talent they slept on. And also you see as like when TNA started and things like that, and you have some of them wrestlers like go there and actually be treated like wrestlers. And then you had like the Knockout division and all of this stuff. Like, you see it now, like when you look back and you go, they were actually class. They were really good. But it's also just mad the perception that wrestling fans had back then as well, because did any of us really see that as an issue? Like, I was too young to think about it, and as a generation, I'm sure there are people, and they weren't, I'm not saying they're not, but I'm talking for me as a kid, that's how I was being brought up to be like, this is normal, which is in mental. It's amazing we've gone that far, and like, kids watching wrestling now are not gonna have that experience of women wrestling. Like, I think that's what's great, because there's obviously still a lot of kids into like getting into wrestling now, and they've got people like Rhea Ripley to look at and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
So like, kudos to the women now, do you know what I mean, for being like, yes. Can't see Rhea Ripley doing a bra and panties match at SummerSlam. Can't see that happening.
Despite what she gets on a Twitter DM.
Despite the countless emails I've been sending.
Rhea Ripley's
has been sending joint emails.
Rhea Ripley is interesting in that sense, because she doesn't deny like the sexuality of her character or anything. She revels in it, but
it's empowerment though, isn't it? It's a different thing. And like, she's choosing, you know, she'll post pictures without a peach moment and be like, fuck, yeah, you're right, I'm your mammy. Do you know what I mean? And you're like,
yeah,
you are.
Yeah. Does anyone remember like when Toni Storm left WWE, and one of the reasons she left is there's going to be a segment where she'd end up in, like, with her like shirt ripped and her bra exposed, and she didn't want to do it. And then she launches an OnlyFans, and people go, well, why was she upset with that if she's launching an OnlyFans? And immediately a large portion of Twitter came out and went, you're missing the point. She's chosen to do that. Yeah. That's her decision. Yeah.
I think her doing that was like a middle finger to being told that, you know, we want you to do this. And it's like, fuck you. I'll do it if I want.
And again, your point, like, this is, again, post-Women's Revolution. Like, that would have been post-WrestleMania 35 main event. So it was still like, everything was still just an uphill battle to get there. Like, if they hadn't got the Kid Rock concert that was the perfect segue to it, maybe they wouldn't even got 7 minutes of a Battle Royal. Because I remember, like, it's either the WrestleMania before or after this one, where Snoop Dogg comes. It must have been 24, because he, like, gave a shout-out to Ric Flair, I remember, and that was his retirement. And he, like, comes out on, like, a golf buggy, and all the divas that aren't in the match just have to dance and be all dressed up and behind Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg kissed Maria at the end of the match, and I'm like, I really hope Maria had said yes to this ahead of time.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's... I forgot about that.
Yeah. They were an amorphous blob. Like, they weren't individuals, really, as best as could be. They were just... Like I said, this ball of blonde hair was my memory of this match.
Yeah, and then, like, the movesets as well. Yeah. Like, a lot of them were just hair pull and slap.
So much hair pull.
Like, I remember, like, when I'd have the SmackDown versus Raw games, and you play as a... Like, that's all they... That's one of the only moves you could do. You pull out hair and then do a Stratisfaction. That was kind of it. Like, that was the moveset in the games, and you're like...
You'd
Jesus.
Have that. You'd have the one where she does the initial slap and then the repeated slaps to the back of the head.
Oh, yeah. That one, remember that? That's a man. You know the year where you could create your own finisher?
Yeah.
I made that in your... and that, I made that the start, and then he did it like four times. And that... I think then it ended with a stunner.
That decision explains so much about why you initially picked this match.
I think I was fighting Goldberg for the world title once.
I'm just imagining the real life meeting where they're pitching that to Bill. Now, Bill, I know you like to be a superhero for the kids.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
You love it, Bill.
And like you say, like, as young gentlemen, when we were watching these things, it's not like I wasn't enjoying what I was being presented. But I also, like, it was funny because...
It was softcore porn, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it wasn't...
yeah. It was
like, I mean, that's how they were presenting it.
Yeah, it was what you could get away with, really. But I always remember, like, even though I was enjoying it, I was also like, I know I can get this elsewhere. I remember there was like one Raw where it was during the Bischoff-Stephanie run, where Bischoff figured his big gimmick for the night would be hot lesbian action. And I was like, you don't need to put on a wrestling show if you want to watch hot lesbian action. There's no need. Like, this isn't going to bring you ratings. I couldn't find any hot lesbian action anywhere until I found that Monday Night Raw was showing it.
What's a lesbian?
Do you think they thought every wrestling fan was like Quagmire in that episode before he discovers the internet's a thing? And if we'd all found out, we'd all come out with one giantly red dench arm.
Yeah, well, as The Rock says, wrestling's cool now, you know.
Now.
Yeah, now. So, you know, all of us before, we didn't know women were a thing. That's how they, you are right, that is how I think they just assumed that we just didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was like they looked at this like they've gone like, what's our target market? Young blokes. What should we give them? I don't know, get let's just get a bunch of good looking women in. And you're like, but like, you look at the demographic now, you've still got all them young blokes still starting to watch it, but they're watching it for like different, like completely different reasons now. Also, young women are watching it, and you've got a lot of like, when you know, we went and watched like Progress and stuff, and their sort of women to man like matches and stuff is very evenly split and things. It's so much better now. Like, as a whole, I mean, obviously, don't get it twisted. We've mentioned it on our podcast a few times. AEW need more women matches. But in general, it's a lot better than it was.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more respect on it. And you've got to like see that and respect that. And, you know, you should just remember, like, bloody hell, man. We grew up on bra and panties and mud wrestling.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lawler being a bloody creep.
Yeah.
Now we've got Rhea Ripley headlining in Perth, being probably the hottest, like, talent-wise, like, in the company at the minute. Like, everyone is infatuated by her storyline, what she's doing. You know, you've got Becky Lynch as well, like, everything she's done. Bianca Belair, everyone's going mad for Jay Cargill. Like, they've done so, so much. But I do think Santina Marella will come back and beat Rhea Ripley. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, they've been saying Rhea should be booked against blokes. It'd be a good starting point, maybe.
No, I'd love to see Rhea Ripley like run through some, like, I don't know, like, I want to see her just because we've seen a body slam like Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I want to see her like pick up Omos. Fucking slamming through a table.
I think my favourite compliment I've seen someone give Rhea Ripley, they were like reading thirst tweets to her or something, was why are you every bisexual's dream? I thought that was great. Sorry. But we really should not talk so much about Rhea Ripley, but, you know, as much fun as that is. But just to get back to this match, I also think one of the problems look, when you start about Rhea, it's very hard to stop. But one of the other things about this time in particular is like, it's like, this is PG era by now, isn't it? I would say, you know, they can't be edgy on the product. And so they can't do the ultra sexualized stuff anymore. I think they can't really do bra and panties matches at this point, or mud wrestling matches or whatever. Not because they think it's degrading. It's just like for the sponsorships and the TV rating that they were having. But by that time, women were so a part of the furniture that they couldn't get rid of it. So I think this is like the lowest level of interest from Vince at this stage. Like, he can't super sexualize them, but he can't not have them. So just sticking 25 of them into one battle royal attached to their version of a Super Bowl halftime show, which again is Kid Rock in 2000.
Oh, God, that is how he would have thought of it, isn't it? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that I've picked a jokey thing by seeing Tina Marella. And here we are, slagging Vince off as we rightfully fucking should.
I do want to get to
Jesus Christ.
I do want to get to Santina, but just very quickly, I just want to say, what does Kid Rock mean to both of you?
So much. I think every time I see him, I think to myself, hey, I used to be a kid. I like to rock. Now let's go get loads of women in a ring.
That's what I... Simon?
It's just a bit sad. I just see him shooting Bud Light now, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're a grown man.
That Trump pivot was like, well, it was inevitable. But The thing is, like, because I've said with my age, when you're 16 years old, that's when music sounds as good as it's probably ever going to sound. And I found out about Kid Rock when I was, like, 16 years old. For, like, a year, I thought Barwa to Daba was an amazing song. I remember seeing him on, like, it was the MTV Movie Awards or the VMAs or whatever, and that was the first time I saw him. And he was introduced by two, I'm assuming, black actors that got paid a lot to say, this is one funky-ass white boy. Give it up for Kid Rock. And then he goes into Barwa to Daba, and this is the time of Blink-182 and Slipknot and everything else. So, and he's got a little person as an MC to go with him. Like, at that point, Kid Rock was so big that ECW created a character called Kid Cash, which was, what if Kid Rock was a wrestler? And there was also Kid Rock did the first entrance music for Biker American Badass Undertaker. But 2009 yeah. Kid Rock... to be honest, 2001 Kid Rock, I was like, oh, I was naive. Remember when we went through at some, we once did a reading through all the halftime acts for the, what was it, the Australian version of the Super Bowl?
Oh, God, yeah. Honest to God, Danny, it's a wilderness. It is a proper wilderness really? Of talent.
I think they had, Macklemore, last year.
Last year? Is he still alive?
In Australia. For the Australian Super Bowl,
he is. I thought he was still in there.
Yeah. It's that horrible thing of, Vince's idea of what mainstream is and that company's idea of what mainstream is. Like, now, it's amazing they've got all these contemporary acts because they grew up on... They've got Bad Bunny as, a regular wrestler. One of the genuinely, top 15, 20 artists out there. Again, but back then, it was, it's like Kid Rock. We were saying the last episode we had their tie-in WrestleMania song was by Peter Gabriel. would this have been around the Raw GM era? Is this the year around that?
Oh, I don't think so.
But it's near it, isn't it?
Do you mean the laptop or do you mean the guests?
Yeah, the anonymous
I mean
GM.
The guests. The guests.
The guest GMs when they get round the SNL. People.
Yeah. It would have been around. Yeah, it must be because Bret Hart.
The anonymous GM was after all that, wasn't it?
It was either before or after it. But I remember because
Hornswoggle was the anonymous. It was the anonymous GM, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But this would have been the time.
Which was, by the way, one of the worst things ever.
A hell of a payoff. But I didn't mind the anonymous general manager, actually, but we're not here to talk about that.
By the way, it started 2 months after this. I've just checked.
So this is my point, Vince is desperate for mainstream recognition with the celebrities, but it's his idea of what's mainstream and what's celebrity compared to what they're getting now. They've got arguably one of the most famous people in the world is a semi-regular member of their roster and their current United States champion. It's crazy where we've come from there. You know, this is
it's something else. I remember before we did Wrestle Club, we did a couple of trial things before the podcast started. And one of which, we watched the Royal Rumble where he got his debut Rumble. And I was Logan Paul's going to do something sick. And everyone, we did a whole, it was Mark Cram was there, Ibs was there, Sakisa, we had a few others. Jerry Bakewell was there watching it with us. And we were just sort of getting a vibe of how we all get along, things like that, really. And I was he's going to do something sick. And everyone was no. I was he is. And then everyone was he's good. I know. So I've been riding the actual Logan Paul train this whole time. I'll be honest, it's one of them where also I do it as a bit of a laugh on the bike. I do wind him up, especially Richard, because I know he admits he's good now, but he hates it when I'm future world champ, mate.
It is inevitable.
Right, I wouldn't be surprised. He's got the prime sponsorship now on the ring and all this stuff. He's money, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's money.
I did see Impulsive this week had KSI on, and he's I want to give one move. I don't care how many moves I take, but I want to give one.
Yeah. He's just one suplex.
So yeah, where we've come from as far as celebrity, I do wonder can they go any bigger with celebrities now at this point? I guess if you can get someone an A-list movie, if Ryan Gosling came along and did something, I suppose. Well, then again, they had Hugh Jackman.
Ryan Gosling,
didn't they?
Though, has he done any movies very recently?
Barbie!
Did that one. But you know what I mean?
Ryan Reynolds? If he could come in dressed as Deadpool. That'd be a bit of a pop.
Ryan Reynolds would do that. Yeah, he would do that. John Cena and everything, you know, and The Rock.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, the biggest stars that are, like, in shape that could do it and stuff. You've kind of peaked with Logan Paul, if I'm honest. Some of the other biggest movie stars are The Rock and John Cena, but they've come from WWE. So I'm trying to think, like, they wouldn't, if Tom Hardy went over, a lot of the American lot probably wouldn't really know him. Like, I'm sure they would from some films like Bronson and like Legend. But then is that, I don't know how well they did in America. I have no idea.
Wouldn't that be, like, amazing if Tom Hardy came in and did? If he rocked up to
Progress, everyone would be like, Tom Hardy. You know what I mean? Like,
doing a Reggie Cray impression.
Yeah.
We'll share
a kendo stick.
You're gonna bite me a cake.
I came here for a brawl out.
I suppose they had Tyson Fury, didn't they, as well?
Yeah.
They tried that,
but he's just gonna punch someone once.
I'll tell you what, Braun Strowman, I'm a fighter. You're a fighter. I think we could have a good fight. Fight in the ring. We actually saw him, didn't we? The one time we went to that Raw at Manchester, we saw.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
That was
you lucky, guys.
Simon watched me gradually fall apart as that show went on. Because it was 4 hours. 4 hours.
Ooh, five. It was 5 hours.
Well, this is, it's actually interesting, just to get back to the event. This is only a 9-match card. Again, it's like, not quite.
Well, so CM Punk won the Money in the Bank, which was, did that kick off the show? I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah. Simon's got results there. Simon, do you want to run through them for everyone?
Just before we move on to the match lineup, I just want to say, even though you said this was initially out of spite, Danny, I actually do want to thank you for this, because you know when you have a scab and you know you shouldn't pick it?
Yeah.
But you do. That is what this podcast has been. It's like, look at where we got to. Look at what we were.
Yeah. Listen, mate, to call me a scab, I think, with what you've done there.
He finds a way to insult you, Danny, when you leak the...
You know what? I've been called worse from my own mother. So, fair play. No, I know, it did start off as a... It definitely was an out of spite to you. It was I wanted to talk about something. But obviously, you can't repeat feuds, right? That was one of the things. And then I looked at the lineup, and I'm not gonna lie to you, forgot that match existed. And I went, if you're gonna get me on, because I know Richard will talk about something like a genuinely really good match, you're gonna get some really good wrestling conversation out of that one. Mark, you're gonna get really good wrestling conversation out of that one. Ibs, I know the kind of stuff he's gonna go for. Sakisa, and so I'm like, I'm gonna go this way. That was my theory.
Well, Simon, let's have a look at what you could have won as far as conversations go.
Yeah. I've wasted WrestleMania 25 on this, but I do believe we've spoken about some quite interesting topics about it. And you know what? I'm proud of myself.
I'm happy with what I've accomplished. Yeah.
I've seen the destruction and I'm like, I did this.
All right, so I'm going to take you guys to the pre-show, which Lorcan did allude to in the intro, where the Colons, Carlito and Primo, defeat John Morrison and The Miz to unify the tag team titles. We opened the main card, too, with CM Punk winning the Money in the Bank, with the other participants being Christian, Finlay, Kane, Kofi Kingston, Mark Henry with Tony Atlas. I don't remember Tony Atlas ever being there.
What? I don't remember that.
MVP and Shelton Benjamin. We then move to this match, third on the card, following Kid Rock. So it's not even a halftime show. It's a quarter-time show.
You'd argue there's not even a palate cleanser, is it, at this point? They've just gone, yeah, chuck it there. Yep.
I love as well, like, how desperately the cameras were trying to find anyone enjoying Kid Rock's performance. They eventually just had to sort of do whoopy, like, the camera was moving but the people weren't, but just as long as there's movement it can imply enjoyment. And Kid Rock does the whole, I'll put the mic out to the crowd, and no one knew what to say. But so after this match, after the concert and the match,
we move on,
and obviously
to
with Santina Marella winning her debut, guys, come on, at WrestleMania.
I know,
eliminated Beth Phoenix. This is a huge moment in her young career.
That Danny is right. I mean, what can possibly top that? Well, the poor schmucks who had to try were Chris Jericho defeating Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat and Roddy Piper in a handicap elimination match.
Then getting knocked out by recent Academy Award loser, Mickey Rourke.
Yep.
That was the match that was supposed to happen, wasn't it? Jericho v. Mickey Rourke. I don't know if we've given away your dream WrestleMania match. We'll have to find out later.
Christ, if this is what your pick is, Christ knows what your dream booking is.
I'll be honest, I don't even know.
Well, let's stretch this one out then, Simon.
and then after that, you've got brother versus brother as Matt defeats Jeff at the Hardys, that is, in an Extreme Rules match. We then move on to Rey Mysterio defeating JBL for the IC title. Match time, 21 seconds.
We could have done that one as well, Danny. That would have been an interesting choice.
Could have, but I didn't want to bury my good pal Rey Mysterio.
Dressed as the Joker, that was, wasn't it? It was like that Office Halloween episode.
Yes. Yeah. Which is one of the best ones he did. I love that.
Damn it, Ray, I've been up since 4.
Yeah, I was like, Mum, this is my moment. This is the guy. Oh, okay, sorry. He's that good.
Then we've got some sort of match I don't really think it's worth discussing, really, do you, Simon?
Nah. I mean,
who would want to talk about this one?
We'll just breeze past it, but just some bloke called The Undertaker defeats some bloke called Shawn Michaels.
Who?
A couple of jobbers.
I bet that's Shawn spelled with a W, the weirdo.
I know. Not proper, is it, really?
Him. No, terrible match. Awful, terrible stuff. Hated the build-up, hate the promo, hate everything about it. I will never talk about it on a podcast because I'm not allowed.
We do have to adhere to rules on a podcast. They're important.
Oh, they are, yes.
You've clearly never listened to Wrestle Club, bro. I've thrown that rules out the window. So Keith says, make sure you do this. I'm like, nah.
Followed by that, we have John Cena defeating The Big Show and Edge in a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah,
Triple H defeating Randy Orton by pinfall. And I think, wasn't that after, like, no, Randy Orton had punted Stephanie McMahon in front of a hank of Triple H, and it's like he couldn't physically touch him until the match started.
Man, we're seeing all of Vince's fetishes on display in this, aren't we? Really?
Punting. No, because it wasn't Shane.
I love as well the rules of that. Randy Orton can't be disqualified, but Triple H can. Yeah. That's what you want, a restrained main event. How many WrestleMania main events was Triple H just saying before it? No, wait, trust me, this time it'll work.
I remember being live at going to WrestleMania 32 and them saying on the poster when we were at WrestleMania Access, it's no holds barred. I'm like, no one's told us this. What are you on about? Yeah, seriously, the whole time, like, no one knew in the advance, but we're at Access, and they're like, buy the poster, and it says no holds barred. I'm like, no one's mentioned this.
They still managed to make it boring. Have you been to a WrestleMania, Danny?
I am broke. Never had the money to. I've been to watch, we went to Money in a Bank in London.
Oh yeah,
me, Sakisa, and Ibs. We went there. That was great. But that's the only sort of pay per view I've ever seen live. To be fair, when you do stand up comedy, you don't have a lot of surplus money to fly out and go watch a pay per view. Unfortunately, but it is on my bucket list. It definitely is on my bucket list to go watch like a Royal Rumble or a WrestleMania. But yeah, I mean, Money in the Bank was class. We started the chant. Yeah. Tell him stand up if you ain't Roman, and he sat down. Brilliant.
Just to go back to the match then, just some last final thoughts. One thing I noticed was also that they didn't have to go over the top rope, and I was because I remember that's how they used to do women's matches, because I don't know, their dainty bodies couldn't take
that was so weird rope. Wasn't it, like, you weren't allowed to do anything too dangerous,
so I thought I did worry when they had the Women's Royal Rumble, I was worried they're going to make that rule again, aren't they? But they didn't, thankfully. Also, just like, obviously we're talking about Santina and everything. Like, as a comedian, do we grade wrestling comedy on a curve? And if you saw any wrestling sketch or comedy spots in a comedy club, it just wouldn't, like, even the funniest wrestlers, like, you know, Edge and Christian back in the day with Mick Foley or Santina Marella, do any of them actually stand up as comedic talents, do you think?
And you know what? That is a very, very good question to pose a comedian talking about wrestling. I just want to give you a moment there. That was a great question. And two, no. I'll tell you what. Like, it's
it's the same as comedy in regards of it's, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's all like retrospect to what your audience is, right? Yeah. So like people would argue my stand-up is not comedy. Because it's not for them, or some people work class alternative acts is not comedy or whatever because it's not for them. It's all for a certain target market. Now don't get me wrong, the acting in wrestling is abysmal. Some are better than others. R-Truth up there, hilarious. The stuff he does is absolutely phenomenal. Like Tom and Nick Mysterio, one of the best. That's genius. If I was doing a comedy roast battle to somebody called Dominic and I went, where's Tom and Nick, that probably would get a little laugh in the comedy club. Like, it wouldn't get a great laugh, don't get me wrong, but you would still class as comedy. But like, obviously, like when you look at sketches and things like that, you know, they're not as good. But then again, there's been some, like when you look back at some old like TV shows where you had like the Lenny Henry Show, Little Britain and all this stuff, like them sketches maybe aren't too far off of...
Yeah.
Obviously not. It's not the bad Little Britain ones, but like the sort
so
of
what's
caliber
left?
Of set up and punchline. Yeah, no, but yeah, the caliber of setup and punchline, they do okay. But yeah, there's definitely some standouts. Obviously, you've got the like any Kevin Owens is brilliant at it. I think he's genuinely naturally very funny when he's on the announcement table as well, and he like undone Austin Theory's laces and shit. Like there are some very funny moments. So
but
I,
it's
I
within
would
the context of wrestling.
It's got to be. It's in the context of where, of course, it is. But then I don't know. There are some very good people doing like very good promos or all them backstage segments. So you, like I said, you've got New Day did a lot of funny ones too. But yeah, I would say if you put them in a comedy club, I don't know.
Yeah, we have seen a few wrestlers in comedy clubs because like the spoken word circuit, especially in the UK, is so strong for ex-wrestlers.
Well, Mick Foley did stand-up, didn't he?
Yeah, I saw Mick Foley at the Glee Club in Birmingham. We saw Paul Heyman at the Manchester Comedy Store, didn't we, Simon?
We did.
I went to the Leicester Square Theatre to see William Regal, and Batista was in the audience because he was filming Guardians of the Galaxy at the time. Yeah, and he actually asked a question, and he got on the mic, and he said, this is an instance of me talking on a mic and people not being worried. Something along those lines. It was really cool of him. And there was a great thing, because there was obviously, like, Exler trying to sort of get William Regal's attention. And Chris Brooks, was his name? And Billy Kirkwood, who does ICW, I think. Yeah, but they were the hosts, and they're both huge wrestling fans as well. And they said that at the half, like the interval, before the interval, it's like, if you happen to be at the bar when any ex-heavyweight wrestling champions are there as well, maybe leave them alone so that they can have their own time to themselves. And then Chris, quick as a flash, just jumped in and said, yeah, you lot, leave Jimmy Havoc the fuck alone.
Again, aged.
But yeah, I think just to like go back to this match, another sign to me like the contempt is how the announce. You know how they often said the women's matches, the divas matches were like the piss break matches, so you could like, you know, this seemed like it was the announcers' piss break match because they barely talk. Like it seems like Jerry, no one's in their ear and they don't know what to do.
They just let Jerry be a creep.
Yep. I remember just being JR and Michael Cole kind of occasionally talking and then realizing, oh, Molly Holly's here.
Like, JR can't be asked.
That was JR's piss break. That's why they put it earlier. Because after the money in the bank, he went, I need a piss. And they went, all right, get Kid Rock out. JR needs a piss.
Well, no, because he's revealed like that's why he wears dark. So he'll have done it at the desk. So Jerry Lawler's this horny whilst Jim's pissing next to him.
Yeah.
What a state.
It's early on. Stand-up.
Do you ever say a sentence and then wonder what my life is?
Yeah. I say it to me every single day. Every single day, mate.
Well, let's get some more crazy sentences out of you, Danny, because I am very curious to hear your dream WrestleMania match, because I think we're going to get a good one here. So, what have you cooked up for us?
Right, well, I'll be honest, mate. I only really thought about this just before we started recording, and I think I would like current Hornswoggle versus current Ric Flair. I think that's the match. That's the match I want. I won't be moved on it. That's what I want. I want to see Rick or current Will Ospreay versus current Ric Flair or current Omos versus, wait for it, current Ric Flair.
How about a handicap match?
Yeah, that's
that'd be a hell of a trio.
Yeah, I think Omos needs some help. Give him Hornswoggle and CM Punk because he's injured CM Punk, like current injured CM Punk. And then Ric Flair, I want to see him just chop everyone. And you know what? Kong, she's the special guest referee. That is my dream match. air match, and Omos is already bald.
I'm gonna forego my hatred of tables matches, right? Take a team of Hornswoggle, Ric Flair, and Omos against a team of Will Ospreay, Awesome Kong, and sod it, she'll do it, Aja Kong, in an elimination tables hair versus hair match. I will watch it.
I feel like at least five of those six will be up for it.
Yeah. Also,
I think all six will be up for it, actually.
Also, I'd throw in a cash in. Damian Priest finally gets it over.
Does he start just shoveling the hair into his briefcase?
Yeah. So he gets the hair, and then he also becomes Finlay's
dad.
Yes. He has to start walking around with Shalala. I'll be honest, as you could tell, give me that or Logan Paul and The Rock.
You've put about as much thought into it as Tony Khan does to any woman's match not involving Tony Storm right now. So
maybe what I'm doing right now is a sign. I'm being very meta right now. That's exactly what I was doing. You read right through me. AEW, don't be like me. Have a think about what you're going to say. Have a think about the matches you're going to put on. Yeah? Because in a minute, all your matches feel like this.
Well, I have to save some more thoughts for another discussion. Danny, you're more than welcome to come down. And you can pick whatever match you want for the next time you come on our show. Right. Except for the Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can never have that.
Never I'd talk about my favourite match ever. All right. Okay. And I tell you what, to throw in another match, just to throw it back, as well, I would like to see Luke Jacobs versus Mark Cram.
Yes,
that's a narrative I've been trying to push for the last few months. I'd like to see it, please. If you don't know what's happening, it's because Mark Cram keeps calling Luke Jacobs boring, and I want to see Luke Jacobs slap Mark Cram on the chest. Can you try and bring up Luke Jacobs as much as you can? Can you do that for me?
This has been so much fun, Danny. If people want to get more of you, as well as Wrestle Club podcast, how can they follow you on the Twitters and the Instagrams and what have you?
Oh, sure. If you want to see some more buttocks, it's Red Scott Chili Peppers on everything. I'll do stand-up and all this. I'm basically a fully grown adult man child, and that is my vibe. So, yeah, and then obviously Wrestle Club podcast. Come, I'm there. But yeah, red Scott Chili Peppers on everything. You don't have to. If you're going to tell me that I don't know wrestling, please do, because I find that very, very funny.
And Simon, people want to get in touch with, how can they do so?
They can get in touch with me on Twitter, where I'm selling the Simon Cross Free.
My name's Lorcan Mullen. That's LorcanMullen, which are the last two letters of Santina, if you turn them around. That's my Twitter handle, Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd. If you're putting at gmail.com at the end of it, that's my email address. Get in touch with the show at lmtyspod@gmail.com. LMTYSpod is also our Twitter and Facebook handles. But there's nothing to say at this point, except my name's Lorcan Mullen.
My name's Simon Cross.
Thank you once again, Danny.
That was the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was bad. They try to sign out. Bloody hell, you caught me off guard, mate.
It's down, like, I genuinely probably say it in my sleep at this point.
That was, if anyone has caught what he just said. Jesus Christ, that was mental, but thank you. This has been absolutely lovely. A lovely podcast to be a part of. And yeah, man, big up the women's revolution. Rhea Ripley.
And let's hopefully talk to a woman about it as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm the closest thing to a woman that wants to talk to you, lads. I'm joking, love you. Sakisa's coming soon.
I've grown the hair out so I can look in the mirror and talk to someone with... Anyway, let's end this. Thank you for letting us tell you a lot of things, too many things.
Oh, that got dark.
and stay with us as we continue on with our March Mania.
That was just a pure car crash, and I loved every second of it.
That was a shot at wrestling there, that wasn't you. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
No, to be honest, there's not a part of that I didn't love.